Praise the Lord. Whenever we sing this song, I have to think about the gospel. Before, we used to go to preach the gospel for one whole week in all different cities. And with all the saints, we sang this song aloud with all the saints, and it stayed within my heart for many days after that week. And I realized I have to sing this song anew, and also on the street to sing this in front of many people. Especially now when the Lord is coming soon, it is good to remind people about this. Let us continue. Now we will read Matthew 6, 9-13. Matthew 6, 9-13. I think almost everyone knows this. Even the Catholics know these verses. But we want to see anew what the Lord wants to speak to us through these verses. This is the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples. Matthew 6, 9-13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Amen. Our Father. In Matthew 6, the Lord shows us how much the kingdom is on the Father's heart. This is a very strong emphasis here. And this emphasis is also revealed in such a prayer, because this prayer begins with the kingdom, with a burden for the kingdom. And the whole chapter of Matthew 6 shows us that it concerns our whole life. Our whole life should be focused on the kingdom. And at the same time, the Lord shows us that God is our heavenly Father. On the one hand, we see the kingdom, and then on the other hand, we see that God is our heavenly Father. And how has He shown this? If we want to live for the kingdom, we need a relationship to this heavenly Father. If we don't know our heavenly Father, we will also not be able to live for the kingdom. It won't be possible. It won't work. It requires a very intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, so that we would begin this prayer with our Father. So we have to know the heart of our Father through this relationship. This relationship with the Heavenly Father brings the kingdom more into our hearts. And so I think it's so important that we see this, that this relationship with the Father and the kingdom, they are closely related to one another. Let us really strive to solidify our relationship with this, with our Heavenly Father, that it would also grow. According to this prayer, I want to also share more about how the family life fits together with the kingdom. And the first thing is that the Lord teaches us to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Once the prayer is gone in the family or is no longer the focus of the family, then the kingdom will also be lost. We won't have it in front of our eyes. We cannot neglect prayer in the marriage life and in the family life. And also if you are living alone. Without prayer, we will be entangled in so many things. And without prayer, we will not be able to maintain the kingdom before our eyes. This prayer with one another is very embattled. With my wife, we've had to really fight to have the time to pray together and not lose this time to pray together for the kingdom, because the enemy will do everything to stop this prayer. The prayer for one another, for the kids, for Zion, for the building up, for the edification, because the building up begins in the family. And that's why it's so important that we learn and also fight for this, that there would be a time of prayer together in the families. As a family, as a couple, also in the brother's house. This time of prayer can never be robbed by the enemy. And this is a very embattled thing. And this has become very conscious to me before. Often at the end, in the evenings, we are so tired, but we said, no, we have to set our priority on the prayer and then do the other things. Yeah, we have to have the kingdom as our first priority. And this will be... This will come forth through the prayer, will be manifested through the prayer. And as the family, we should learn to pray for the kingdom. It doesn't begin with give us today our daily bread. That's often how we start our prayer. We often start praying in this way. This is my problem, and this, and that. And there are numerous things that we can pray for. But he says, pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a different prayer. This is a prayer for the kingdom. And the Lord wants us to grow into such a prayer. This is a prayer of the sons of God for the kingdom. If we're small kids, then we'll only pray for us. My kids come to me because they need something. It's fully understandable. I don't expect them to come to me because of my needs, right? They come to me because of their needs. That's normal because they're still kids. But true sons of the kingdom ask the Father what he desires. And this is important. We need to learn this. Teach us the prayer for the kingdom, that we learn to pray first for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom begins in the family. If the family is not for the kingdom, then it will be very hard for the church as a whole to put into practice what we hear about the kingdom. We have to have the order that the Lord gives us in the kingdom. We have to have it in our family. And the best example is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father cares about the things that pertain to us so that we would have a heart for his kingdom. And so we also have to learn from our Heavenly Father that we would bring all the burdens of the family and all the cares for the family to the Father, especially as fathers, and that we also should be examples for our household. And if our Heavenly Father is my head, then I, as a father, can also be the head of the family. And I, as a father, also have the responsibility to make decisions. And the decisions that we make, they always have to relate to the kingdom of God. If I make decisions separate from the kingdom of God, then it entangles me. And then the family will be entangled in many things that distract us. So it's very important that we as fathers, when we have to make decisions, even bigger decisions for our family, that we make these decisions with the Lord and we say, Father, your will be done, that we ask him for his will. Is this is what I want, but does this correspond to your will? And if not, then we cannot do it. As I was not married, my decisions affected me. If I made bad decisions, then I suffered myself. I had to experience the chastening of the Lord. And as I got married, then the decisions I made affected my wife. So there's someone who's also influenced. And now that I have kids, my decisions also affect my children. The consequences have become bigger and greater. And if you want to serve the Lord in the church, then your decisions also affect the church. So it's so important, especially the big decisions that we have to make, we should make them according to the kingdom of God, according to His will, to seek Him and to ask Him, what is your will? Show me your will. I experienced something myself as an example. A year ago, I promised my kids I would buy some rabbits for them, some bunnies, little bunnies. With floppy ears. And my wife told me, please don't bring any animals into the house. Please don't do this. And I thought, oh, okay, what are the pros? What are the cons? Okay, maybe a little bit of work. But then the kids would be happy. And I didn't ask the Lord. I just tried to weigh the pros against the cons. And I tried to make the cons into pros. So then I could buy the little bunnies for the kids. Even though my wife told me, don't do it, and a brother told me, also, don't do it. At the beginning, the kids will do it, but at the end, you're the one taking care of the bunnies. They warned me. I also didn't listen to my brother, and I didn't listen to my wife, and I bought the bunnies. And you know what? And then a time of chastening began. I don't want to say that buying bunnies is wrong, okay? Don't understand me wrong. This is my personal experience. It's about my decision in which I should have asked the Lord, and that had a consequence that for my whole family. And through the bunnies, we were so busy, and then they got sick. And then you have to do this, and then you have to do that. And for my... For my wife, it was hard to let go of the bunnies. But for me, I was like, okay, they're bunnies. If they die, they die. But for my kids, it was also hard because you develop a relationship with them. And I realized, and there was unrest. And then my father-in-law was also, there was also offense for my father-in-law. And decisions we make without the Lord have a big consequence. And it was this matter of seeking the Lord was so important for me. You have to make decisions according to His will. Otherwise, the family will suffer. Otherwise, the family will be distracted. And I repented before the Lord. And then the day that they got sick or something happened, then another family came and took them. So it showed me again how important it is to make decisions for the kingdom of God. Our time is really short and it is passing very quickly, and we have to ask the Lord, Lord, what do we need to do today? What do you want us to do today? Through this lesson, it became very important for me, and He also admonished me, seek me for your will. Seek me according to my will. This is also good for the young people who are in an age where they want to get married. Do not make the decision about whom you marry based on pros and cons. Seek the Lord. Stand before the Lord. The Lord knows exactly whom He has prepared for you and who's right for you. This is so important. Or otherwise, if you don't do it with the Lord, it can cost you the kingdom. Some people say that after deciding to accept the Lord as your Savior, marriage is the second most important decision. Some people say because you cannot, you can't take it back. Seek the Lord. because the Lord sought out Eve for Adam. And for Isaac, he took Rebecca. So it's important that we say, Lord, you seek out the right person for me. Do it with prayer. And you can also ask others, pray for me, to pray together, that the Lord would give you light. This decision is very important to make with the Lord. The order of God in the family is very important, that the husband is the head of the wife and Christ is the head of the husband, and that the kids, the children, are also, they also submit to their parents. This is how the kingdom of God can be manifested and be made visible in the family. If there's no order of God in the family, it's so hard to see the kingdom. Romans 14, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That was verse 17. And this righteousness is the order of God. For there to be peace and joy in the Holy Spirit in the family, you first need righteousness. That's why we also have to seek the righteousness of God, so that peace and joy in the Holy Spirit would follow. So we have to tell the Lord, Amen. Lord, may your order be in my house and my family. And that's why the responsibility of the husband and of the father, when it says in the prayer, give us today our daily bread, it doesn't concern just the physical bread. The responsibility of the husband and the father is that the family would be supplied in the spirit. If the fathers do this, then the order of God can be implemented and be practiced much more easily in the family. The flesh always lusts against the spirit. You can say so many times, you have to submit, you have to submit to me. The flesh cannot do it. So that's why it's important that the wife is strengthened in the Lord, that her heart is steadfast in the Lord. So as fathers and as husbands, we have to pray, strengthen my wife, that this she can also have the strength from God to also serve the kids in the family, that she would learn to rest in the Lord, that she would have time to spend with the Lord. Sometimes good to just redeem the time. I'll take the kids. You seek the Lord now. Or go and have fellowship with the saints. It's important to really care for one another in such a way. As I was in the U.S. a few years ago, I met someone who moved from Finland to the U.S. for his job, and I asked him how he liked it in California. He said, happy wife, happy life. I understood only after the fact what he meant, that his wife was happy, so then he was happy. But this is not the principle that we have in the kingdom. It's not, oh, just do whatever you want. As long as you're happy and I do what I want, then we're happy. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Es muss heißen, wenn ich eine geistliche Frau habe, dann habe ich, if I have a spiritual wife, sorry, then I have a peaceful life. The wife should be adorned with a quiet and gentle spirit. This is precious in God's eyes. And as husbands and as fathers, we have to help our wives be adorned in such a way. If we do, then there will be an effect on our kids, and then the kids will also learn this order. Because the wife does, or the mom does, spend the most of the time with the kids. And so the kids also need to see the life of the Lord. And I realize also, if we're only take care of eating and drinking, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I realize the greatest danger in our family is that as a family, we tend to just be occupied with our daily things. And then we just care about eating and drinking. This, that, and what kind of excursion should we make? Clothes, toys. With four kids, I can list a lot of things. But this is the danger that I realize is there, especially when they're small. You can occupy yourselves with many things. And the danger is that you lose the focus on the kingdom. This is the greatest danger. It's just like taking the prayer in Matthew 6, and you take out verse 9, you take out verse 10, and you take out verse 13, and there's just verse 11 and 12 left. But then you just live for yourself. But the kingdom of God has to always have the first priority. So we cannot lose the kingdom from being the focus in our lives. So we cannot focus on the earthly things. And for this, we need the prayer together with one another. And in Matthew 5:15, the Lord says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel or a basket. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And this light, this lamp, is the life of God in us. And the lampstand is that with which you are occupied, what you're busy with. If you do this and that, then you stop praying, then you stop with your time in the Word. You have no more time. And this is putting your lamp under the basket. And then in the house, there's no more light of the Lord. And the kids won't see much more from the life of the Lord. Yeah, but it should give light to all who are in the house. First and foremost, to those in the house. So the kids should see the fragrance or smell the fragrance of Christ in me and in my wife. And for this, we need the time in the Word, with the Lord, with the saints, in fellowship. So we cannot lose the focus on this. The enemy tries to, through many distractions, to do this. But if we have light in the house, then it will shine outside of the household as well, towards those who are on the outside. And recently I met a brother. As he was a young person, he was very burning for the Lord. He was very active in preaching the gospel. And then he got married, and then they had two sets of twins and another kid. And it was a very difficult time. And now this brother is older, and the kids are no longer living with him. Some of them are out of the house. And as I met this brother again, I met him for lunch, and I tried to speak about the Lord. There was not much left there. This burning that he had before was pretty much not there anymore. It had diminished. And he said, now the kids are gone. And now I can finally have vacation, go on vacation with my wife. He also realized that the priorities had changed. It wasn't to serve the Lord. It was to enjoy life. And this is the danger. If you let this focus on the kingdom be robbed, don't think it'll just come back later. Because the older you get, actually, the harder it'll be. If the fires, the flame starts to dwindle, it'll be hard to be sparked again. If now we burn for the Lord, then the time of retirement will be a time of prayer. that when you get older, there would be a time of fighting for the kingdom. This morning I spoke to Steffi, and I said, Steffi, now you have another grandkid. You'll get another grandkid. You have another reason to pray. The prayer of the older saints is also very crucial. It's a very important service. Don't underestimate it. And there's no retirement in this sense. Every member is important. I told my father-in-law, remember to pray for us. This is something that I asked him to do. The older ones should pray for the younger ones, that they would carry the young families in prayer. And then it says, forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive our debtors. Forgiveness in the marriage life and in the family life is so critical. If you take this away, no marriage will last, I am sure. Because there's so much from our flesh, there's so much from our old man. It's very, very difficult. For me, it's impossible for the hearts to be knit together without forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is so important. And the Lord emphasizes this again, that we should forgive one another. And why do I say this in the marriage life? Because that's where the people are closest to one another. If I can't forgive my wife, I can't say, I will forgive this other brother. The Lord wants me to forgive my wife, the one who is closest to me. It's very important for us to forgive one another. If you do not forgive, then neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So to have an entrance into the kingdom, we really need to learn to forgive one another. That's why he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will also receive mercy. And we have to continually exercise this to forgive one another, that we don't take the things that happened 5 years ago and bring them up again. We have to really forgive so that our hearts would be free and that the love can flow to one another. Otherwise, there will be stones on our hearts that will burden and make our hearts heavy. Even many marriages among the Christians are going in flames or don't last. I'm not reading about unbelievers, because I think among the unbelievers, I think no marriage is really okay. But even among the believers, that's why the Lord emphasizes this, that we would really pay attention to this, to forgive one another. And at the end, it says in verse 15 of Matthew 6, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We also have to see there's no conflict between the kingdom and the family. They're not mutually exclusive. Oh, I would love to serve the Lord, but I have a wife and I have kids. You can't separate it like this. To serve the Lord and His kingdom is also to take care of your family in the Lord. It's so important that we bring this together. Here is, if you take away verse 11 and 12 and only care about 9, 10, and 13, it's like you only have a shell. Just fellowship, prayer, and your family at home doesn't get any supply of the Lord from you. We need to be so balanced, not to just be consumed with our own lives and or then only be about fellowship. Our whole family has to be for the kingdom. May the Lord be gracious to us and teach us that the kingdom would first come within our family, so that the kingdom would not only grow, but would come to full maturity in and among us. Yeah, Lord, we praise you. Recently, I talked to some Muslims while I was preaching the gospel. I mean, they always struggle with the triune God with this point. How could Jesus be the Son and also God at the same time? And the Lord showed me a very important aspect. He is perfect. God is perfect. And He also has a perfect love. How can love be expressed if there's no counterpart? So He has the perfect love. He is the perfect love because He also has a counterpart to love. And this is how He created man in Genesis 2:20. He should give all the animals names. Yeah, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. That means the God's perfect nature should be expressed in the marriage life, in the relationship between two different people. As one unity, as one unit, husband and wife, they will become one flesh. And then together they should rule over the earth, have dominion over the earth. He didn't give this purpose just to Adam, but also to Adam and Eve together. So that's why the marriage life is inseparable from the kingdom life, and that's why it's so embattled. Today, if we see how much they're under siege, so to say, it's not just about divorces. Of course, that exists a lot in our society today, but also as it relates to the order in the marriage life. Even things that are not appropriate to speak about here, but also concerning the things that we just read, like in Ephesians 5, where it talks about Christ being the head and the husband being the head of the wife. Amen. So let the wives be to their own. Yeah, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And I want to talk more about the aspect of being the head. We had a conference about Isaiah, and there it says, the problems always begin with the head. If something is not right here, then the rest of the body will also be affected. So the head has to function correctly and be steadfast. And we have to look at the head of all heads. That's God the Father himself. And in Matthew 5:48, it says, therefore you should be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we see it in our Father who is in heaven and Christ who is the head of man. So how important it is to be heads. So as husbands, we have to learn to be the head. And this is something we should grow into. We need to grow into him. And I want to share about a few practical things, what it means to be the head for me. I'm still learning a lot, but I also have been able to learn a lot. Because I grew up as a third son, and I always followed the example of those who were before me. I'll just do what they've done. But I didn't have to decide many things myself or find my own way. I just did what other people did. But here, we see that the head has to have various characteristics. 1 John. And we need such men today, such husbands who grow into this goal. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. We can only be heads if we recognize and know the Father. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. We need to be strong in the Lord. 1 John 2:14. And we have to be strong to also flee the things in the world and to stand against all the temptations and all the wickedness in the world, because you are strong. So young men, let us be strong in the Lord. We need such heads in the church. And the word of God abides in you. How can we speak the word at home if the word doesn't abide in us? We should speak what is in our hearts. So we need to have the word of God abide in us. And you have overcome the wicked one. Husband has really received a very special responsibility from the Lord. Even before you are married, you can already learn to experience the Lord and grow into the Lord in this characteristic. To be head of a wife or of a whole family. And we are also have to learn to bow down before the Lord, because we are not our own lords. The man, the husband also has Christ as his head. And if we don't learn to bow down before him and submit to him, then in God's order, we cannot be a husband or a father according to God's order. So we cannot make decisions just out of ourselves. But we have to submit to Christ as our head. And being an example speaks more than 1,000 words. Let no one despise his youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in the spirit, in faith, in purity. Yeah, these are things we can exercise now, even if you're not married, to learn to be an example to the believers in word, to be an example in love. And at home, I want to be such an example that the Lord want to see how I read in the word. Sometimes it's good to be in your room, but sometimes I also like to do it in the living room so that the kids hear it. And then almost every morning, a kid will sit next to me when I read aloud from the word. Because through this, they receive an example. Because for my father, it's important to read in the word. And he reads it out loud. And this is how he deals with the word. Yeah, so the head also has to be an example. And the young men have overcome the wicked one. There are many temptations and addictions in this world. Yeah, the head also needs to learn to overcome these things, these lusts also. And the head needs a steadfastness in faith and a certain level of maturity. Yeah, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah, we need to such maturity, to be so mature as fathers and or as husbands and as heads. Otherwise, there's so many things that can toss you to and fro. And if the head is being tossed to and fro, then the whole family will be tossed to and fro. That's why, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is a wonderful preparation and characteristic of the head. And And the spring conference, it also was about the kingdom of God and his unchangeable plan. God has a very important characteristic. God is not a man that he would lie. Whatever he does, he will do. Whatever he says, he will do. And we also have to be dependable. We have to be clear and dependable in our speaking. That was Numbers 23:19 before. Your speaking should be yes, yes, and no, no. Because anything else is from the evil one. This is concerns our speaking to the wife, speaking to the kids. If I speak something, I say something, then I have to do it. So it's good to be exercised to not be too quick to speak. The kids remember what we say for a long time. They don't forget it. So we should only say things that we can keep, make promises that we can keep. Also declare punishments that we will also carry out. So sometimes we try to shock them or make them instill some fear into them by giving them a very severe punishment, but we have to think about that before we say it, because if we say we will punish them, we have to carry it out. And we also have to learn to overcome the enemy. And this generation of being on your phones all the time, it's very characterized by being non-committal. When we try to organize things, what comes back? Oh, I'll still write you. I'll write you later. What does it mean, I'll write you later? That means shortly before, I still have the ability to take back what I say or decide not to write you. But this is not being dependable or accountable. When we say something, we really need to do it. So if I say we'll meet in 2 weeks at a certain time, then you can rely on me. Reliable. Yeah. We need to give that people can trust us, depend on us, rely on us. This is what the wife needs, the kids need, and also the whole church. And of course, we need a strong relationship to the Lord. Just as you have received Christ, so walk in Him, rooted and grounded and built up in Him, and rooted in faith. We need to be rooted and grounded in Christ,
foundation,
and established in the faith. That was Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Am I ready to carry the consequences of my decisions, whether they be small or big decisions? And there are some aspects that relate to those who are already married. Romans 15:1. Oh Lord, yeah, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Yeah, we need to bear the scruples of the weak. This is a very important characteristic of the head. There are weaker ones. In the scripture, it says that the woman, that the wife, is the weaker vessel, and that the husband has received a certain strength from the Lord to stand fast. And he shouldn't take advantage of this, but use it to bear the weak, to bear the wives in their weakness. Then the marriage life will really be built in God's order. 1 Peter 3:7. Yeah, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. We shouldn't look for a perfect wife, so to say, who is already transformed in every aspect. It's extremely important that we have the same view for the kingdom and the same goal. But you always decide for a whole package, including weaknesses. Yeah, to bear the weaker vessel and dwell with them as the weaker vessel. Amen. And being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And here prayer is mentioned again, to pray together as a couple. And I can only testify of this, that it is very embattled. And if I ask the other saints, what does it look like in your marriage life? How much time do you use to pray together? How much time do you use to read the word together? And it's not a given. I hear often that we don't have the time, or it's not about maybe missing one day. What about a whole week or a whole month? That's not good. And then the enemy has gained ground, and then you start to part ways. So for the oneness, we need this regular time of prayer in the Word. And the head also gives the direction. The husband, as the head, has the responsibility to steer the family and to influence the family in terms of its direction. The head also sets boundaries and sometimes says, no, we're not going there. We have to set boundaries too. And also to be able to gauge things in the appropriate way. There are sometimes so many things that come up in the family life, and then the wife is very occupied with these things. And so the head has to be able to say, okay, here we have to deal with certain things, and here let's let these things just stay put. This is also one of our responsibilities as heads. And we also have to be present at home. Happy wife, happy life. What's behind this saying? We went with the families from the kindergarten on a retreat, so to say. And often I saw that the women were giving the direction. And he said, somehow I don't feel so great here. Something is not right. What's with the husbands here? The wives are telling them what to do. What is the problem? What's behind all of this? It's often the problem that the husband also doesn't carry out his responsibility. Yeah. Sometimes the wives are at home. They manage things very well. Of course, they are meant to be helpers. But then sometimes the husbands, they draw back because, oh, I can't triumph here. I can't be. So I will look for my glory and my honor somewhere else. at my workplace, for example. They have a lot of responsibility at work. They get promoted. They manage things. But at home, they don't do anything. But this is not the order of God. God also wants us to carry responsibility at home, that we make decisions about the kids' future, that we share spiritual food, that we give them nourishment, that we also stand fast. This is a burden for me, a great burden for me, because this also belongs to being the head of the family. Let's not take ourselves out of the situation and make things comfortable for us. But also execute and carry out all the responsibilities God has given to us as heads. I'm not perfect in everything. I still need to grow into His image. But if you have the desire and the willingness to live in such a way, then it'll make it easier for the wife to submit, because there's no vacuum. Because if the husband doesn't carry out his responsibility, then sometimes the wife is forced to take over certain responsibilities. But of course, the wife also has to also learn and exercise to submit to the husband, even when the husband is not perfect and doesn't do everything right. And in 1 Peter 3:1, men, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And here it talks, of course, about husbands who do not obey the word of God. And even those who do not follow the word of God, even those the wives should submit to. Even though my burden is also to equip the brothers to grow into this role and this function, it's also, of course, important for the wives to submit, even if the husband is not perfect. There's so many burdens in this direction. We don't want to also do too much or share too much. So I also want to talk about the oneness in the marriage life. And then there's also the topic of the children, how we raise them at home, how we discipline them, and there how the order of God will be followed. But we can continue on having fellowship on this in the afternoon or in personal fellowship with one another. But let us really seek the Lord in this matter, because it is very important. Because the family and the kingdom are not two separate entities. And not to think the family is hindering me from serving the Lord, but I want to serve the Lord in my family. Let us also take the whole family with us, and to gain the whole family for the Lord, and even if there are no kids, to take the wife. It doesn't help us if the wife is, if the husband is running full steam ahead and then the wife is left behind. We want to serve the Lord in oneness. And there's so many wonderful examples in the word, like Priscilla and Aquila, that they serve the Lord together. In their household, the saints met together, and they were also able to equip other saints. And this is how the Lord can use us as couples and families in the church.